Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, church family. How are we doing this morning?
All right, so the six of you, the nine of you are doing good, but how about everybody else? How are we all doing today? Awesome. We just want to invite you to join us as we praise our God. So go ahead and stand up, come up front, and we're going to get started here.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
And Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are. So good, so good. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are.
And Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue,
from generation
to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good.
Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are.
So good, so good. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are.
And you are good all the time, all the time.
You are good, you are good, all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good, all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good, all the time, all the time. You are good.
And Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Oh, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, we worship you for who you are, for who you are, for who you are. You are good.
Hallelujah.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood.
Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this is all my hope and peace,
nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And this is all my righteousness,
is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Victory is mine, victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Sing victory, victory is mine.
Victory is mine.
Victory today is mine. I told Satan,
I told Satan,
get thee behind.
Victory today is mine.
Sing, joy is mine.
Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine.
I told Satan,
I told Satan,
get thee behind. Joy today is mine. Cause there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power,
power, wonder-working power
in the blood of the Lamb. See,
there is power.
sing on. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
No other fount I know,
nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Overcome. thank you so much that you are not dead. You are very much alive. We thank you, Jesus. Not only did you save us from our sin, but you came to heal our soul, man. Thank you that our intellect, our emotions, and our will can come in alignment and be restored. You restore our soul. You sozo, reupholster us. And God, I thank you that everyone that was baptized this morning will never be the same again. Because God, it wasn't an outward manifestation of just action. God, it was an internal, supernatural touch of heaven. Lord, we break the power in Jesus' name of even past sins and, God, addictions. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name those past wounds from words be restored. God, we come against, Lord God, even generational curses. We tell you have no place in our lives. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So God, we thank you so much that, Lord, we're not religious. We just follow and do what you told us to do. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus, we thank you that when we do this, you supernaturally change us from within. In Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Isn't it good? Don't you love Baptismal Sunday? I love Baptism Sunday. I love watching people, God taking them and changing them. And I love hearing what God says to me about them, what God's going to do in their life. I just have so much fun. You know, one of the greatest things that could ever happen is, you know, for me, I love pastoring. I love being a shepherd of God's people. You know, not all sheep are nice. I think God grew some, you know, I won't say God. I think some of them grew long teeth. But I tell you, the sheep that really yield to God and know God, you are such a phenomenal joy to lead. What an amazing privilege we have to lead God's people. And I just want to say thank you for the honor of being your pastor. It is truly an honor for us to be able to lead you and guide you in the principles of God's word so that you can fulfill your destiny on this planet. This is not about a show. This is not about one man show. This is about us as a team doing God's will and seeing God's kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I just want to say thank you. And on your way back to your chairs, we're going to welcome folk. On your way back to your chairs, can you tell five or six folks, I love my God. He's so good to me. Share your testimony with somebody real quickly this morning.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. It's time to head back to your seats and get ready for this morning's announcements.
Tabernacle, you know what I've always wondered? Why do we have Next Steps? Why do we have all of these classes? The reality is, if I want to make more money, I should learn new skills. If I want to learn how to treat people better, I should learn how to interact with people. Whatever I want a knowledge of to apply to my life, I need to learn it and I need to take actionable steps. And that's what we call Next Steps. Every single Tuesday night at 7 p.m., we have step one and two right here in Horseheads. Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. in Horseheads. Thursday night at 6 o'clock in Ithaca, and 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock right here for all of the Next Steps class. For more information, you can go to histabernacle.com. We'd love to get you signed up, connected, and growing in your relationship with Christ.
Hey, are you new here at His Tabernacle? We have a class just for you to help you get connected and learn more about our church. Every single Sunday, we have Growth Track that happens at 9:30 to 10:30 here at the Horseheads campus. Make sure you come out and discover what God can do through you.
Hey, Kevin, what's in the pot?
It's Kevin's Malone famous chili. The secret is undercooking the onions so everyone gets to know each other in the pot.
Well, why not just get to know each other in groups?
Can I bring my chili?
Most definitely. All right, man, I'll see you later in groups.
Yeah.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How y'all doing this morning? This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. You are in a great house. You are in a phenomenal house. You are in a vibrant church where we serve a living God. He is not dead. He is not lost. He is not confused. He is not boring. He is alive and well. Amen? Amen? Who's excited that we serve a living God? Awesome, awesome. We're so excited to welcome you to our 11 a.m. service. If this is your first time here, if you are a first-time guest, can I see you just lift up your hand like this, please? First time, amen. All right, let's put our hands together for our first-time guest. Look at that, like half a row. I love that. Amen. Amen. If you can just keep your hands lifted up, we have a gift that's coming to you right now. And I want to personally invite you after this service on this side of the building, my left, your right, we have a guest reception for you. There are free snacks, free coffee. You get to meet some of the people on staff. I want to just tell you thank you so much. There are so many other churches you could have attended, but you chose to worship with us today. We're excited to see you next week and the following week, and soon enough, you'll be calling His Tabernacle home. Let's give it up one more time for our guests. I want to also welcome our live stream family. Yeah, we have a busy month coming up. April and May. Oh my goodness, May. It's going to be so busy. A few things that we want to talk to you guys about. We have our Memorial Day parade coming up in about 3 to 4 weeks. If you like to walk in that parade or be part of the dance and or the song, we want to give you that opportunity to get involved. So if you want to walk or be a part of it, please visit us in the Welcome Center between this week and next week to sign up to be part of that. We also have the women's brunch coming up. Women, make some noise. Awesome, awesome. That's going to be on May 11th. And I do need to forewarn you, this event does sell out every single year. So you do not want to wait till the last minute. You want to register today. So if you like to attend that, please also visit the Welcome Center and get signed up for that. That will be May 11th. And also May 19th to the 21st, we have a week of revival that we're calling the Week of the Supernatural. We're just so excited for that. We're thankful for this amazing church. We're thankful for the work that God is doing here. But we're thankful for the supernatural power of God. It is above the natural. It is going to transcend whatever it is the world thinks that they have. We're believing that you're going to walk out of this week on fire for God, operating in the power of the supernatural. We're going to have our very dear friend, Evangelist Teddy Shuttlesworth Jr. here with us. It's going to be a great, great time. Now, if you have your phones or your calendars or your planners, please bring them out. These dates are very, very important. On May 19th, we have one service. Say one. One service at 10 a.m. You want to come early, get a good parking spot, get a good seat, because we will run out of room. We are excited. And so we're going to have a service at 10 a.m. and also at 6 p.m. on May 19th. Then on the 20th and the 21st, we're going to have a night service at 7 p.m. So 3 days, 4 services, and we're going to be encountering the power of God and the demonstrative power of the working of the supernatural. Amen? Amen? So who's going to be there? Who? Okay. Awesome. I'm going to save you all a seat. Amen? At this time, if the ushers could pass out the offering envelopes, we want to move into our time of giving. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. Book of Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. If you don't know where it is, you can just fake it. That's okay. As you guys are turning there, I want to tell you guys a quick story. We are having some landscaping work being done at our house. And when we had moved in, it was raining and snowing and vehicles and U-Haul trucks backing up and down the lawn. So the lawn was just jacked up. There were very visible areas where there was no more grass. So as the landscaping work was being done, I asked those that were doing the work to put down some grass seed in those areas that seemed dead. And the ground was good, the soil was good, and all we needed was grass seed. And I had this conviction, Pastor Banfield, that once that seed is planted, I can expect grass. And regardless of the rain that may come, the winds that may come, whatever storm that may come, because I've planted a seed, that seed must produce what I wanted to have, which is grass. Now, the lesson that I want you to get from this is that independent of the external circumstance against the seed, what is more powerful is the internal environment of the seed. See, that the fact that the seed is planted in good ground is more powerful than any rain, is more powerful than any snow, is more powerful than anything that tried to attack that seed. Regardless of the attack, the seed, it will produce grass. Now, I think that oftentimes when we come to the house of the Lord and it's time for us to give, we begin to think about the external circumstances throughout the entire week. Perhaps you have bills that are mounting up and you're not sure that if you are obedient to the voice of the Lord this week to give, how those bills are going to be taken care of. Maybe you have some unforeseen expenses come up throughout the entire week and you were a good steward of your finances, but something just happened and now you feel like you need to make a choice. Perhaps your entertainment fund got a little bit high and you were at Target and Starbucks and now you spend a little bit too much money drinking coffee and now you're not sure if I had that much money to give. But whatever that external circumstance may be, I want to encourage you with this, that your internal environment is always more powerful than your external circumstance. And the internal environment I'm talking about is that this is a good house that has good ground. And we are even so transparent with everything that the Lord is doing through our giving. We have churches that are being trained up. We have pastors that are being poured into. We have our community and our outreach that is being loved. We belong to a tremendous church. And this is good ground. So I want to encourage you with this. As Psalm chapter 1 verse 3 says, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Can I encourage you with this? That as you give today, it will be like that tree that is planted. That tree, it does not matter the waves that may come, the storm that may come, whatever external circumstance, that tree is not going anywhere. And the word also declares that its leaves will not wither. No matter what's happening all around it, its leaves will stay strong. And also, it is designed to prosper. Can I encourage you with this? With your giving today, it is impossible for you to not prosper. It is in your DNA. It is in your makeup. It is how God made you. Why? Why? Because your internal environment will always be stronger than your external circumstance. I don't care what's happening in your life. I don't care what the bills may say. I don't care what the phone calls may be coming in. It does not matter what it says on paper. If you shall be planted, if you shall be rooted, as that seed goes into good ground, your leaves will not wither and you shall prosper. Amen. If you're ready with your giving, stand up to your feet. Turn to the person next to you and say, neighbor, guess what? You are designed to prosper. It is impossible for you to fail if you're obedient in your giving. Let's all repeat. If you want to give by text, no, we have that number up on the screen. Amazing. I give by text. I love it. It's easy. If you want to give via the envelopes, please fill those out. If you're online, there is a giving button. Click that, boop, and you can now give with us. It's amazing. Now repeat after me. If I obey, then I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are chasing me down. They trip me up, because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Now, if you are ready to take a step of faith and understand that your external circumstance holds no power against your giving, your circumstance holds no power against your internal environment, that from this day forth, not only will your leaves never wither, but you shall prosper. If you're ready, shout it out. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You can come in and receive the offering.
What can make me whole again? What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the
from Brother Ted Shuttlesworth's camp meeting. And it was great being down there with all of the ministers that we know for all these years that have been part of our family. And we had something very exciting happen, and we just want to share that with you. How many of you know that we have a church in St. John, Canada? Canada, New Brunswick. We have a church in St. John. We also have a church in Louisville, Kentucky. Amen. Louisville. You're not supposed to say Louisville. They corrected me. Louisville. We also have a pastor that we oversee down in Houston, Texas. We also have, let me see, where else are we? We have Campeche, Mexico, and that pastor is coming up to be with us on the weekend of Welcome Home Sunday. You're going to be able to meet Patricio, Pastor Patricio. We also have a church in Cancun. We have a church in Merida. We also have a new church in Puerto Rico. And while we were down there this week, had another pastor come to us and asked to oversee. So his tabernacle now will be participating with Motesville, West Virginia. So now you got to understand, I said to him, he said, can you come and preach? I said, sure. He says, where are you going to stay? And I'm thinking, that's not good. I said, I'll stay at a hotel. He goes, well, the closest one's 40 minutes. I looked that thing up online, and it is in the, I thought we were in the middle of nowhere. This place is in the middle of nowhere. So the pastor is just desperate to be able to learn, grow, and mature. And so we're excited. Also, many of you know we have a church in Ithaca, and that's His Tabernacle in Ithaca. Just to give God glory, we started that church 8 months ago. We launched it with 12 people, and last Sunday, 173 people were at the Ithaca location. What's exciting about that is last week they started their very first two services, so now they are 9 and 11 in Ithaca, New York as well. Some of you do know and some of you don't, we're also launching our next campus at Mansfield, Pennsylvania, with Pastor Daniel Dykes. Where's Pastor Daniel Dykes? Come here, Pastor Daniel Dykes. You were going the wrong direction. You and Sister Jody, if you can come up here real quick, I want to introduce to you. This is, as you know, Pastor Dan and Sister Jody. They've been here forever, actually 17 years. And Pastor Dan and Sister Jody are going to be launching the church in Mansfield June 2nd. So we'll have our new campus in Mansfield June 2nd. And I think we're going to get really good traction. I'm believing God for 100 souls in Mansfield by Christmas. Will you believe God with us? Amen. And we're believing God for over 200 in Ithaca. We're believing God for 900 right here on the main campus. Amen? So I just want to say, we wanted to introduce everybody that if they didn't know, June 2nd. So you all need to be in prayer. Amen? Thank you. So God's been so good to us. We've been talking about this is the year of. Yeah, I know. Thank you, sister, because that was it. This is the year of. That's still so weak. I personally yell louder than that, right? This is the year of! That's right. Most people never reach their next level. Most people never move forward in their call of God. Most people never become who God's actually asked them to become. In fact, pre-prepared you by putting in within you the specific giftings and callings so that God could perpetuate you to fulfill God's purpose for your life. Most people live in what we call inertia. What is inertia? Inertia is neutral. Where do you go? Nowhere. What do? Nowhere. You're happy where you're at. And I want you to understand this. To be uncomfortable is very good. Turn to someone and say, I want to feel more uncomfortable. I didn't say you had to say it with faith. I just said you had to say it. Nobody likes to feel uncomfortable, but let's be honest. Nobody moves out of inertia unless there's either pain or discomfort of some level. We've all got to grow. Turn to someone and say, got to grow. The next level is not going to come until you decide to grow, until you decide to mature. So we're all going to our next level in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We already talked about that. And we've been in this new series on next level relationships. Married or unmarried, these principles are going to empower you to become a better communicator, a better sharer of the gospel, a better man, and a better woman. And if you are married, it will solidify your marriage so that you don't have to live in trouble all the time. You know, there are many marriages, and I've done ministry for 32 years this year, that are constantly struggling in their marriage. Or they were divorced at a very young age. Or literally, I'll be honest with you, most divorces I see are over 20 years in marriage. And the reason is because they've never worked through. They stayed together for the kids, and when the kids are gone, they're out of there. But I want you to know, you don't have to have a 20-year marriage. You can die still in love. Well, that wasn't too exciting. I said you can die and still be in love. You can grow old together. As we are. She's not old, but I'm old. We call that affection. You'll find out what that produces later. But honestly, the issue is that we've got to go to our next level in our relationships. You who are single, these principles, you want to learn to not settle. I watch so many young people settle for somebody that does not love Jesus. I want to remind you, the Bible says it is a sin to date somebody that's not born again. I'll say it one more time. It is a sin to date somebody that's not born again.
The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Well, for what does God have in common with Baal? So it's important to recognize that we are to be dating born-again believers, sons and daughters of God. In fact, here's the key. I've always taught my children this. They should love Jesus more than they love you. The reason for that is when you get married and they don't, you've got to try to correct them. And let me tell you what that does. Nothing good. But when God is living in them and they're submitted to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Holy Spirit can convict them, realign them, correct them, and bring them into order. So I want to tell you, you need to make sure that your marriage is established on Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So today we want to talk about next level. 3 weeks ago, we talked about how men and women think differently. Men compartmentalize. And then we have women that are all balled up as in one ball of wire. One area is affected, it's all affected. That's just how God created you, and that's awesome because we're different. I want to remind you that God created two genders. God created male and female. He did not create 112 genders. I want to remind you that the world loves to take God's creation and twist it. What God has said is good, they want to make it their own. And I want you to be very clear that the Word of God is the yea and amen, not our society or political correctness. Amen. I'm about ready to give a salvation message. We're trying to fit in. The church wants to fit in, but I want to tell you how to fit in. The world should never invade the church. The church should invade the world. Light dispels darkness. Darkness destroys the light. So we've got to make sure that we're not complying to the world's principles to make people happy. There are two genders, male and female. Tell the person next to you, there's a man and there's a woman. When a man loves a woman, that's all I got. It was all right? Thank you. A little rasp. With that, we want to make sure that your relationships are successful. So we talked about how men and women think. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about what women need. Not women want, women need. Women need affection. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Ladies, this is your moment. Women need affection.
Amen.
Affection is not sex.
Amen.
Women need security. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And women need, what was the last one? To communicate, to share their feelings, to share their emotions. These are women's needs. If they don't have them, man, I want you to hear me now. You are going to have a horrible marriage or rocky marriage if you don't learn those three principles. That women need what three things? Affection. Come on, say it with me, man. Affection. Communication and security. Say it one more time. Women need affection and very good. Turn to the man next to you and say, get that quick.
I think Brother Terry needs to practice that again because his lips were different than the words that were actually being said. Brother Terry, what are your wife's needs? No, see that? Affection, security, communication.
We want to make sure that you have the tools to succeed and not fail. Turn to someone and say, I don't want to fail. Listen, if you have gone through a divorce, you know the emotional scars of divorce. And nobody, I don't care if you hated the person or didn't like the person, I don't care what the situation was of the divorce, it is painful. It is painful for you as the parent. It is painful for your children. And God's desire is not divorce. Can I hear an amen? God's desire is successful relationships. And a successful relationship is never accidental. It's always on purpose.
Yes, amen.
Amen or oh my.
Amen.
Amen. So this morning what we want to do is we want to break down into what a man needs. Ladies, we're going to talk to you about what a man must have to live successfully in a relationship.
Amen. Well, first of all, both men and women need Jesus. Without Jesus, you're not whole. And if you're trying to find another person to complete you, that never works. So just it's a given. Jesus is the
Amen.
First thing all of us need. And can I say, love is never enough to keep a marriage. How many of you know that?
Amen.
Love is not enough to keep a marriage.
You know, what's funny is we do live in that society, Pastor Rhonda, where love, I love you.
And it's not always the case. You don't always feel those things. So love is not enough to keep a marriage together. But the Word of God says in Proverbs 27:18, whoever tends the fig tree shall eat of its fruit. The grass is greenest where you water it. It's not on the other side. It's where you water it. And this scripture reference right here, Proverbs 27:18, whoever tends the fig tree shall eat of its fruit. So today we're talking about tending the garden of our relationship. It will be green and it will be lush. So men, the number one need of men is, Pastor, sex.
Jesus.
So the number one need of a man is sex. But listen to me. Hear this. It's how God created them. It's not a want. Just like we talked about the car needs gasoline, this is a need. Men need sex. And why is that? In Genesis, we're getting ahead. God created every single one of the men with seed in them. Seed to multiply the generations. God actually created men with that need in the confines of marriage.
Whoa, come on now, say amen.
In the confines of marriage, God created that so that the generations could continue on. And so men actually need sex. Now, some of you women think your husband actually has a demon. You think they have a demon. Man, you just had sex. You want sex again? We had sex yesterday. You look at them like they have some kind of demon that you want to cast out. It is not a demon. Don't bring them to pastor. Don't bring them to the therapist. They're going to tell you that is normal.
Yes.
That is how they are created. Don't hate how God created a man. He created them with the need to have sex. He does not have a demon.
Amen. Boy, guys, you're awful quiet. This is your moment. You missed it. Wow.
Now, there's sometimes in a marriage where it can be skewed in for several reasons. Maybe it's a physical reason or a medical. Some medicines deplete that. Testosterone levels low. Pornography, those things can damage sex in a marriage. But actually, a marriage, not just men, a marriage needs sex.
Yes.
So if you have to, come get prayer. If you have to, go to a doctor. Take care of that because it is a need. It is not just a want. It is necessity for a man. Women do not need sex. Now, that doesn't mean we don't like sex and that sex is not good.
Thank
but
God.
We do not need sex like a man does. But our number one need, gentlemen, is affection. If you give us affection, affection leads to sex. And no, affection is not sex.
Are you sure?
We're going to speak directly to Brother Terry right now. Affection is not sex.
My name's not Terry.
It is. No, my husband is so good at affection. It is hugging. He will hug me. He will come into the house, and the first thing that he does is say, get up here, let me hold you. He hugs me all the time. He kisses me.
Watch. I like sex.
So our number one needs work hand in hand if we are tending the garden. So affection is so important.
Now, I do want to stop, Pastor Ron, because I think it's important that we get back to people understanding the Bible. They've actually done research on the millennials, and there's a shift in the millennials. Remember, what God has created good, the devil wants to make twisted and contorted. And the millennials, actually, when they came out with a study, the millennials no longer believe that sex before marriage is a sin. And I want to be very clear to you, and I believe that we are a Bible-believing church.
Amen.
And we love people.
And I want you to realize that God's not trying to steal sex from the singles. What he's trying to do is keep you safe.
Amen.
There is a different chemical cocktail that is released when you are having premarital sex or looking at pornography compared to the context of